Welcome to the Budget-Minded Traveler Podcast, your source for the tips and tactics that will inspire and equip you to travel the world. And the best part? It won't break your bank. And now, the Budget-Minded Traveler herself and your host, Jackie LaLanen.
Hey, everybody, what's up? You are listening to episode 41 of the Budget Minded Traveler podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today, wherever you are. And before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a quick shout out to those of you who are still voting for the Budget Minded Traveler podcast for this year's podcast awards. And it, as it turns out, the voting period is actually 3 weeks and not two. And so we are still voting. And so if you would like to continue to do so, I would be very appreciative if you would head on over to podcastawards.com every day and continue voting for the Budget Minded Traveler. We will find out the results for this on April 14th of this year, 2015. So thank you so much if you have been doing that for me. If you guys listen to this regularly, then you know that a couple of weeks ago, I had on Chris and Tom from Travel Past 50, who are in retirement and traveling long term. They're 5 years into their travels, which I think is incredible, and had a really inspiring interview with them. And so when I was contacted by today's guest, I absolutely had to say yes when he told me what they were up to. So today we have Ivo Terra and Sheila D from The Opportunistic Travelers. And Ivo actually contacted me because he saw my name on the podcast awards list, which he has an interesting connection with, which you're going to hear about in just a minute as well. But he and Sheila have left, they're in their 40s and they have left everything behind. They sold off all of their stuff and they decided that they're going to travel, and they've committed to traveling for 2015 at least. And we'll see kind of where they go from there. But basically, they are here to share about how they decided to do it, what they did to make it happen, what their plans are, and how they're making it incredibly cheap, which is super cool. So let's get going with this interview and hope you guys enjoy. All right. I've got Ivo Terra and Sheila D on the line from The Opportunistic Travelers. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful.
Awesome.
And where are you? I always love to ask my podcast guests this.
We are currently in Knutsford, England, a bedroom community about half an hour away from Manchester, England, in kind of the northwestern part of the state. This is where they actually film The Real Wives of Cheshire, Real Housewives. So it's a pretty affluent little neighborhood we find ourselves in.
I loved Manchester, actually. I always say Manchester.
Yes.
That's my favorite. That was my favorite town in England when I went, actually, recently. I don't know why. I just loved the feel of it. It was like the perfect size. I think that's where I would want to spend some time if I was going to do that in England.
We have a quick overnight. We've done a couple little day trips in, but we're going to do a quick overnight at the end of this week. So we'll get a little more of a feel for it when we're in town.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by a bedroom community?
Well, a bedroom community is a place where people live, but they commute in to work in other areas like Manchester. You know, this town here, you can tell us where they live, and not where they work, because there's not very many places to actually work here. Mm-hmm. Yet this town boasts a McLaren dealership, a Rolls-Royce dealership, a Bentley dealership, a Range Rover dealership, and a Tesla dealership in a town that sports 18,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. This is where the money is, and those that have to still do commute into areas like Manchester or even Liverpool to do their work.
And I read somebody's comment recently that actually lives here in Knutsford, and they work here, and their employer doesn't even list Knutsford as their place of employment. They list Manchester.
Oh, yeah. Not surprised at all. Yeah.
It's like a suburb, I guess. You affiliate with the nearest city.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
So, okay, I am so excited for this. Where to start with you guys? You have an awesome story. And first of all, I have to say, you contacted me because did you see my name on the podcast awards?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And you have a little connection with the podcast awards yourself, don't you?
Yeah. So, we have both been involved with podcasting since the very beginning. And by that, I mean literally the very beginning. My first podcast aired on October the 14th, 2004.
Wow.
So I've been doing this a very, very long time. And early on, I think it was 2005, the first year that the podcast awards were handed out, I was doing a show called Slice of Sci-Fi, a science fiction media-focused podcast, and we took Best Podcast of the Year.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Of course, that was back when there were like, you know, seven podcasts. But more now.
And now there are some 250,000.
Oh, easily. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy. And you have another one that you're starting now, right?
Yeah, well, we've been doing this thing that we're now calling the Opportunistic Travelers Podcast. Mm-hmm. And as of this recording, we have 11 episodes out, which is kind of, for both of us, a re-entry into podcasting. We've been involved with it since the beginning, but we've come in and out around the time, and I still work and support a lot of podcasters. But it's our first time getting back behind the microphones again. So 11 episodes in, the Opportunistic Travelers is a show that Sheila and I are producing each and every week, and I say producing because it's a really, really highly produced program, much more difficult and challenging than what we've done in the past. The episodes tend to go around the 10-minute mark, but it's highly produced audio that features the experiences we have had during our journeys. And we just go and re-record audio and then sit back together and assemble a story. And it really becomes much more of a storytelling experience of what we've done, as opposed to an interview style like this one or straight reviews and sorts of things like that. So it really has to experience the travel more.
And Evo's being really modest here, because whereas he's saying that we both sit back down and go through all the audio, it's really Evo that
it's
does
him.
It. I record my stuff. I give some input here and there. But he does the 7, 8, 9 hours of work that it goes into to produce the 10 to 12 hours of
minutes of
the show. So he's being very modest.
I'm a modest glutton for punishment.
And I can only imagine, because I know how long it takes to produce a podcast, and yours sounds a lot more involved than mine. So good for you. Are you having fun with it?
I am. That's really what keeps me going. It's challenging. It's kind of stretching my audio production skills that I haven't really had a chance to deal with in a while. But it's fun. It's quite rewarding. I actually listen to the show several times as I'm assembling it, and then as soon as it's available for download, when I load it up to the servers, I double check to make sure that it comes down, because I'm a good podcaster, and I listen again. Because I really enjoy it. It's that much fun for me, and it's exactly what I want it to be.
That's awesome. And where can we find that podcast?
Well, if you know how to search on the iTunes, it's under the Opportunistic Travelers. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can just go to the website, which is shivo.wtf, and click on the link that says the Opportunistic Travelers Podcast, and you can see the subscribe buttons, and you can see all 11 episodes and all the future episodes. We put our full script in the show, so you can actually see exactly what it is that we're saying before you actually download, so you know what's happening.
I'm so intrigued. And your URL is a mix of your two names.
Yeah.
Shivo. So it's S-H-E-V-O. And can we assume WTF stands for WTF?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's because when we brought up the idea to our friends and family about what we were about to do on this little adventure that we've started, their first response was, what the f***?
We'll cover that with WTF.
100 cycle bleep will do it as well. So anyhow.
So on that note, I want to hear about this adventure of yours. Your website goes into, you know, explaining how you guys are in your 40s and you sold everything and you're on the road as digital nomads. Mm-hmm. Tell us everything.
Well, I'll tell you everything in an abbreviated fashion, although we've got the longest story here ever. Yeah. So you've hit the highlights. We're both 46 years old. We have a single son who's 23 years old and is on his own and doing quite well. And for the last 5 years, we have said to each other that we need to do something different. It's time for us to leave. Yes. Phoenix, Arizona had been our home for the last 18 years, and we'd made wonderful, fantastic friends there. We were deeply involved with the community. But it was time for something new. We both get itchy feet and want to travel, and 18 years was a really long place for us to stay basically in the same area. So we talked about a lot of different things, and in November, the 1st of November of this year, we said we need to make a decision on where we're going to be next. Several things in our personal lives had lined up, personal and professional lives, that showed us that we needed to be gone after the first of the year. So as we were trying to pick which city was next for us, right around the 15th of November, we had the crazy notion of, what if we just don't pick and we just leave? And we collectively thought that was a good idea. And so that's what we decided to do. We started selling off everything. We'd already gotten rid of most of our – all of our real properties. So we just had household goods and a car to get rid of. And in lieu of being independently wealthy, we had to come up with some creative ways to pay for a lifestyle, a lifetime of travel, at least a year of travel. So selling everything was part of that. But we also decided, we discovered this really cool thing called international house sitting, where we could go stay rent free literally all over the world, and exchange some services like pet watching, which is what we're doing right here in lovely little Knutsford. And that lets our travel dollars get stretched even further. So we decided to make a go of it for at least a year. That's our personal commitment to each other. At least a year, or until the money runs out, or until we decide that we find some place that we want to settle down, or we decide that we want to keep going because we might make that decision too.
Mm-hmm. The options are so many.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so great, though. Did you? So I actually, just a couple weeks ago, I published an episode with a couple from Travel Past 50 is what their blog is called. And they are retired. They're about 20 years older than you guys. And they're doing the same thing. They retired and they sold everything and they're traveling. And it's so exciting to talk to people like you guys who are actually doing this. And they're 5 years in at the moment. And they also, you know, they had said they didn't see themselves traveling this much, but the more they go, the more they want to see. So I think you guys are in for it.
I think so too. And we really didn't want to wait until retirement age. I mean, both of us do the kinds of things professionally. I'm a digital strategist and Sheila is an instructional designer. And these are the kinds of jobs that we can do for a very long time. And they're the kind of things that we can do on the side as much as we can do as full-time gigs. So retirement wasn't looking like much of a possibility for either of us, at least not the classical retirement a lot of people think about.
Exactly.
And so for us, it was like, well, we're going to keep working and we can do these jobs for anywhere, from anywhere. So let's try and do it from anywhere. And here we are.
It's so great. You guys are in a unique position in that both of you have location independent jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually hard enough for one person to get, but for both of you to do that. So you both work online then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The kind of stuff we do is online. Although, to be honest, we're not doing that much working online from here. We put enough money into the bank to allow us to do this for a year without having any income coming in. Now, that doesn't mean living extravagantly. We have to find opportunities along the way to allow it to work out for us better. But even before we left, we already had people coming to us saying, wow, that's great. You're going to make this trip. It sounds like you'll have some free time on your hands. Can I pay you to do some work while you're away? Okay, sure. And that just gives us an even longer runway on the other end.
Absolutely. And that will probably lead into something that can be a little bit more sustainable for you at the end of the year when you decide to keep traveling.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Sounds like you're setting it up right at this point, which is awesome. So, have you traveled before this?
We have, but we hadn't gone, like we've done Central America and Mexico and Canada and the Caribbean, but we hadn't been beyond those areas. And we'd like, at one point we planned a trip to Spain and then things didn't line up. And so we didn't go. And there were so many places we wanted to go that we just, our jobs were holding us back.
Yeah, they kind of were at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the case for most people. So this was the point that you guys really, what was it that really made you decide, this is it, let's go? I mean, was it something inside, like you said some things were lining up, but was there a driving force within you that was just saying, you know, this is it, we have to make this happen now?
You know, it was kind of a mixture of various things that had happened. You know, one of the businesses that I had been involved with was changing its nature pretty significantly, and my role was in question. Mm-hmm. We had been told by various doctors that Sheila needed to get out of Arizona for a very long time, and we started listening to them when some new information was being put forth, and it just seemed right. Plus, our son was in a situation to where he was ready to go, so we knew we were free to leave Phoenix.
Right.
And then it was just by chance that Sheila was reading something online, I believe, just something on the web, that talked about this couple who left home in their 40s as well and started traveling to see what it was like. And now 4 years later, they're continuing to do it. And we said, everything they're doing is something we can do if we just make the decision to do it, shall we?
And I started looking into a little bit more of that, and there were stories upon stories just like that, where couples left and, you know, 20 something years later, they're still traveling.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm not tied to anything. We're not a materialistic couple. And so let's go.
That's so awesome. So do you guys have a lot of monthly bills at the moment? I just have to ask, because if you don't have any income coming in, what about sustaining, you know, what's going out?
Yeah, so we have some, but not huge amounts of things. I mean, we have no rent, we have no car payment, we're not paying, you know, insurance premiums, we're, you know, all the things that are normal. We have to pay for food, obviously. People that that we're staying in don't let us eat for free.
We have, back in 2011, we were, Evo was diligent and paid off pretty much all of our bills. And so we didn't have like high credit card or high debt. And so even like the last couple cars we've had, we've paid cash for them. Mm-hmm. And it just allowed us to, you know, it gave us more freedom, because those bills that you have, the credit cards and all of that, they end up owning you and not allowing you to do what you want to do on your day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Yeah. That you said it. That's it. So how about, with that said, you said also that you find opportunities to make it basically cheaper for you along the way. And I know you mentioned International House Sitting. Is that what the website is? International House Sitting?
What our website is?
No, International House Sitting.
Oh, so there's probably four or five different websites that Sheila keeps active profiles on, where we find various assignments. The one that we've had the most success has been Trusted House Sitters. Uh-huh, we've actually set up a page on our website so that for people who want to know who we're using, they can just go to shivo.wtf/stay-for-free, all one word, and we'll list out, you know, four or five different options for them right there. Okay. But, you know, we keep up with that on a regular basis. Oddly enough, when we first started out, we really only had – well, let me change that. When we decided we were going to leave, we had nothing lined up. We had already picked a date. We said on January the 16th, we're leaving the country. I mean, we didn't have anything lined up. So prior to January 16th, we were a little nervous for a while, going, well, what's going to happen if we don't get selected for any of these house-sitting assignments? So luckily we got one before we left. And then as we were leaving, we only had that one lined up. It was for 3 weeks to go to France, in the middle of nowhere in France, on a one-way ticket. And then we had nothing else lined up after that. Well, just before we got on the plane to leave to go to France, we found out we had an assignment in Denmark, in a little town called Kakadé outside of Copenhagen. And so that would get us an additional couple of weeks, and then this, and then another. So it's kind of spiraled. And today we were just talking about it on the way before we jumped on the interview with you. We're now planned out definitely planned out through August.
Whoa.
With various house sitting assignments. And we are likely going to stretch that into October. That's not been confirmed yet, which is great because now we don't have to worry about every day getting up and checking on the various assignments and putting our name in to see if we can be selected. You know, we can sit back and relax and we can be a little picky on which assignments we want to take.
And we're actually being contacted by the assignment, the people that own the assignments themselves. And I've had to turn down two or three just recently.
Yeah. Which is a great thing. You know, people are actually reaching out to you saying, hey, I've heard about you and I see what you're doing, and they're following the website and they love how we're sharing everything. And they say, you seem like the right kind of people for us. We think transparency takes care of a lot of the questions about should these strangers stay in my house? Yep. Well, look, if we steal anything from you, you get online and destroy your reputation, and that would pretty much end it for us. So so that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. We like to call ourselves the perfect strangers, not random strangers,
right,
but the perfect strangers.
Exactly right. Thank you, honey.
I like that. Yeah, I did an interview with a girl who she's actually living in the UK right now. Her name's Julie, and she uses Trusted House Sitters all the time. And she was the first one to tell me about it. And so we did an interview about it because it's just sounds like such an amazing program, you know? And so I will definitely, I'm going to link to that episode as well, because there's a ton of information on there for anybody who's interested in learning more about Trusted House Sitters. And I'm going to list your stay for free websites too, because that's super helpful. I can't believe it. So you are actually booked out through at least August right now. Does that mean that during that time, I mean, it's only March at the moment, you will not be paying for lodging that entire time?
Almost, yes. Let me run it through real quickly so I can I can tell you what it is, Jackie. So we will have to spend we leave here from Knutsford on Sunday of this week. We will spend one overnight in a hotel in Manchester. Mm-hmm. After that, this gets into the opportunistic part of that. We have about a 3-day break before our next assignment, and another podcaster named Matthew Turndog, who lives in northern England, has invited us to come stay at his place for 3 days.
Awesome.
So then we go to Sheffield, where we're on assignment for a couple of weeks, and so that means rent-free there. We will do one overnight in London after that.
And that's with the Airbnb.
Oh, it's an Airbnb. Yeah, so that we got that relatively cheaper than a lot of the hotels would be. And we're staying with a local, so we can get some ideas of where we should go see for our 24 hours in London, which probably isn't enough. But that's okay. We're going to come back.
Yeah, you'll be back for sure.
I certainly will. So it could be, it's part of our trip. We're going to spend a month in Spain, and that is courtesy of an author who I have been working with for the past 5 or 6 years. She actually owns two different properties in Spain. One of them is their getaway spot, and she's given me the keys to it and says, it's yours for as long as you would like to stay there.
That sounds terrible, really.
It does. I know. Horrible.
Where is this?
It's in the Galicia area of Spain.
Northern.
And so we'll be in northern Spain for a month. During that time, we're going to get on a real cheap Ryanair flight and get down to Mallorca, the island that she lives on, and spend about a week with her and her husband and her daughter on the beach in the Mediterranean. How tough will that be?
How'd you say you met her?
She and I, she's an author, and I've been working with her for some years because digital strategy is part of what I do, and I help authors use podcasting, oddly enough, to a wide audience.
So great.
So after that, because it gets even better, after that, since we're here, I have to go back to London. I say have to go back to London because I'm keynoting a digital marketing conference at the end of May called the Ungagged Conference. So anybody who's a digital marketer should go to this one because it's going to be a really cool, interesting event. So we get 3 days wined and dined in a fancy hotel room, and then we're going to tack on 3 days staying with another author that I've been working with for several years who lives in London to get an even better lay of the city. We then go to Milan, Italy, because the World Expo / World Fair happens every 5 years, and we happen to be in Europe, so of course we have to go there. We will be paying for our own luggage, our lodging when we're in Milan.
Another Airbnb.
And then we go to Thailand for 3 months rent-free, doing a house-sitting assignment where we have to look after a single.
We do have cat. Three nights in the small town in Thailand.
Oh, that's true.
You have to tell that story.
That is true. I said we're three in Thailand, and I'm wrong. We will have to spend three nights when we get there on our own. We didn't pick the most expensive place. We picked the second most expensive place in town, and it's $20.78 a night.
Yes. And where is that?
It's in Ranong, Thailand.
Okay. Oh, I love Thailand. It's so cheap.
Yeah, it's so incredibly cheap to get there. So no, we're not staying completely rent-free, but mostly.
Yeah, you named like five nights that you might pay for something. That's so incredible. Like, you guys have found, oh, that's so great. Is it Trusted House Sitters the whole thing, or is it a mix of the other ones too?
Yeah, it's a mix of the other ones. Okay. There's two or three that we use on a regular basis. And the reason you have to do that is they're all country specific. Well, specific is the wrong way, but like Trusted House Sitters is most popular with what area?
Trusted House Sitters is all over. But when you limit yourself, I equate it to like a dating site. Not that I've been on one. But you want to get the most
coverage.
And so like we've got a couple assignments from Mind My House, and there's some others from House Carers, and we've been chatting with people on luxury house sitting, and there's just so many, and it just opens up more possibilities.
Right. And like you said, opportunistic. I love that you're just following the opportunities, really. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, you know, right now the biggest opportunity we have is to do these house sitting assignments, but I have been meeting people along the way. I mean, I can't turn my entrepreneur brain off. As much as I wanted to make 2015 a sabbatical from work, that really hasn't happened. So I've been connecting with people along the way, and we're plotting and scheming and doing some interesting ideas. And any one of those could turn into something which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about these schemes that I'm hatching here is none of them are your traditional job. You know, I wouldn't be forced to move back to Copenhagen, Denmark, which wouldn't be a forced thing anyhow. Copenhagen is an amazing city. We would live there in a moment's notice. But it's the kinds of things that would allow us to continue to travel, because the people that I'm meeting have also experienced something like this freedom of not being shackled to a desk every single day, and really getting out and seeing the world. So that would continue, and just additional opportunities for income.
On that note, you should mention how we ended up staying in Brussels, because that all kind of ties in together.
Yeah. We had about a 4-day break between our assignment in Copenhagen ending, our time to leave Copenhagen before we had to actually be here in England. And we had decided to just rent a hotel room in Brussels. Well, the very next day, I met a guy on Facebook. For the very first time, he had posted a question in the podcasters group about starting a podcast on entrepreneurship in Brussels, and he would like some assistance on picking the appropriate name for it. So I jumped in on the comment thread and gave him some feedback about the name, and I also mentioned, so I happen to know a little bit about podcasting, having written Podcasting for Dummies and been podcasting for the last 10 years. And entrepreneurship and innovation is what I've done professionally for the last several years. And I'm going to be in Brussels. We should get together and talk about this over coffee. Mm-hmm. We did, but we talked over coffee in his house because we stayed with him for those 4 days.
Oh, that's so great. You didn't even have to pay for that then.
Nope, exactly right. Yep. So we quickly canceled that hotel room and we stayed with Cedar for those days. Mm-hmm. And he's an amazing person, and we had fantastic conversations. And sure, that's what it to us means to be an opportunistic traveler, is don't set up everything in stone, be extremely flexible, and just take those opportunities as they come up, and you'll probably have an even better time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe that firmly. Do you happen to be going to TBEX?
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that. TBEX was put on my radar a couple of months ago, and I ignored it. I opted to not go with, because we didn't exactly know we were traveling. Now that's TBEX is happening while we're in Spain.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
My plan is to reach out to the TBEX folks, since keynote speaking is part of also what I do, to let them know that, hey, I'm kind of close, since it's in Spain, we're in Spain, maybe we should get together and see something. So there's a good chance we could be at TBEX either as attendees or, if I can swing it, maybe one of the speaking slots if there's still any open.
That would be awesome.
Are you going
to
go?
I am. Yeah, I'll be there. So we'll have to keep in touch about that because I would love to meet you guys in person if you're if you're going to be there. I mean, that'd be great. Yeah,
sure. I mean, that's the great thing about Spain. Trains go everywhere. And so we might as well just hop a train and get down there for a couple of days. Why not?
Exactly. You know, and if you do register, you're going to get a discount on those trains, too. So a little insider tip for you.
Sweet. Love it.
Well, this has been great. I know you're full of advice. So what would you advise anyone considering? I mean, you guys are in a unique spot in that you're in your 40s. You have not yet retired, and yet you're, you know, leaving everything behind to pursue this lifestyle that's going to be adapted to basically your passion and your, you know, opportunities and all of that. What would you recommend or advise to anyone else considering doing the same thing? Or perhaps if they haven't traveled before and they're thinking about it, you know, what does that kind of travel like mean to you? What has it done for you?
So I think for me, when, you know, you're exactly right, Jackie, this lifestyle is kind of strange. It takes a certain person who's willing to be able to go with the flow. And that's really nerve-wracking for a lot of people, especially those people who've not traveled all that extensively or only speak a single language. Well, guess what? We only speak a single language, other than the fact that I speak Jive, which is a different thing altogether.
You have to stop saying
no,
that.
No, I make that joke always.
Always.
Sorry.
Stop.
But what the thing I would tell people, the advice is that it's a lot less scary than you think to try and live like a local. Everywhere we've been to France, we've been to Denmark, we've been to Sweden, we've been to Belgium, and now we're into England. We could take pictures of the places we're staying at, and they look exactly like the places you have back home. Mm-hmm. It's not really all that different. We're not backpacking the Himalayas. You know, we're not tenting in the middle of the Sahara. We're staying in suburban or in someplace rural settings where the people behave just like you. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier to get around than you would imagine. So my first piece of advice is don't be afraid that you're not going to find something that's going to work out for you. It's probably going to work anywhere.
And my advice is jump. Just do it. Change is hard for people. And you never know what you're going to find out about yourself as you're traveling. So I think it's a great learning opportunity, and I just say do it. Jump in, both feet, and, you know, what's the worst that could happen? Most of us are, it always seems like there's a job waiting for you. So just go. Mm-hmm. Do it.
I love that because that's what I say too. You know, one of the things you learn about yourself, like what you were just kind of saying, is we can be incredibly resourceful when we need to be. And you tap into that a lot when you're traveling, you know, because you have to be on top of making decisions and figuring things out and, you know, finding the right opportunities, etc. And you can do it. You can figure it out. I think people underestimate their own resourcefulness a lot.
Yeah, they certainly do. And, you know, one thing on that as well, Jackie, is, you know, we have said we're doing this for a year. And in more than one case, people have said, well, so are your jobs on hold for when you get back? I mean, did you work that out with your employer? And the answer is no, I didn't. Neither of us did. No. We don't have jobs. We don't have homes. If it's not in a very, very small and wide open, because it's not fully packed, 5x5 storage unit or with us here, we don't own it. So we're not really betting on the fact that we're not going to be successful. However, if we're wrong, if the end of this year comes or next week comes, something tragically terrible happens and we're forced to go back to the States and start over again in a new city, we will do it. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. The worst thing that happens is we have to get a job. Mm-hmm. And when you do the kind of things that we do, we have skills that are in demand and in need. So that's never, you know, last time I was looking for a job, I found one. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to happen again. Don't worry about that cushy career that you have. It's not quite as awesome as you think. There's always something else you can get into, or most of the time there's something else you can get there. So if that's what's holding you back, you're missing the point. Go experience, and if it sucks, then you just go back and get another job. There are plenty of them out there.
Yes. I love that. I really do. I think too many people think that it's like the end of the world if you quit your job.
And I think I didn't realize that, you know, until I got involved with so many startups that I'd been working with for a while. And when you're a startup, you know, you put all your money into it, you know, you're bootstrapping the startup and you say, I'm going to triple mortgage my house and I'm going to rack up all my credit cards and I'm going to do all these things. And at the end of the day, if it fails, it fails. I have to go get a job to pay off the, you know, my credit card debt and whatever, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Jobs are out there. The default is not you failed at your startup. Right. Now you're stuck in a van down by the river for the rest of your life. That's just not the way that it works.
Right.
And it's not the way it'll work for us. If this, and we're kind of treating this as a startup, trying new things, figuring out what sort of content we should share, what resonates with our audience, trying to build up momentum before we figure out what the money angle looks like. So, you know, startups that focus on money too early fail. And I think many travelers who want to make a go of it fail because they think about monetization first and less about how can I give my audience out there the content that they're looking for, and then I'll figure out a way to keep it going from a money angle. That seems to be the smarter play.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love the way you put that. I have one more question for you guys, because I cannot help but think about this as you're gallivanting around Europe. But what are you doing about visas? Because, you know, you get 3 months in the EU. I believe you get 6 months in the UK. Is it just working out that you're kind of just going back and forth enough that that's going to work?
We use MasterCard. Oh, wait, wrong kind of visa.
Sorry, Visa. Go yeah. Like.
So we're using a spreadsheet to track our days where we are in each of the places so that, like, we make sure that we are, you know, only 90 days in any of the Schengen areas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have 6 months here in Europe or in England, but we're not going to be here for 6 months. So we did have to recently go to the Thai consulate and work out that because we were going to be there for 90 days. And they only allow a 30-day tourist visa. So we had to go in and chat. And both of us I was extremely nervous, you know, worrying, do I need to, you know, present to them why it's a good idea for me to be able to stay longer? Do I need to dress up so I look like I'm presentable and somebody they want to let in for a longer period of time? And it was the easiest thing ever for us to get this 3-month visa, which we actually have more time than just the 3 months.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. beautiful. I mean, everybody's been very helpful. If you just look up the information, there's a little site called Wikipedia that has everything you need to know about these visas. Mm-hmm. And it links off to consulate websites. And if you're in a situation where you need to stay longer in a country, like we were in Thailand, you look up the consulate, you go in, you talk to them, and they say, okay, here's how you do it. Here's how, and it's not even getting around the system. It's like, these are the processes you have to follow. And yeah, we have to leave the country for 24 hours during part of our stay and come back, but that's okay. We mm-hmm. always wanted to go to Vietnam.
And so, exactly.
even before we went to the consulate, I was having email conversations with the consulate to make sure that it was even possible so that I could even say yes to the assignment.
Right. That's important. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
And with the UK, I'm actually curious if you guys you've gone back and forth between Schengen and UK multiple times already, right? Or enough at least? Because
just once.
But we will when we leave.
Okay.
Yeah, when we leave here, when we'll have to do to go back into Schengen or even when we hit Spain. So, yeah.
Yep.
So when you go back into Schengen, and actually there might be people listening that have no idea what we're talking about. The Schengen area of the EU is like, it's most of Western Europe, except for like Switzerland. I mean, there's a couple of randoms, I think, but they all get one visa. So like when you land in Rome, for example, you're going to get one stamp and you can travel to Germany and whatever. You don't get another stamp. So that's the Schengen area that we're talking about.
And there's border guard crossings either. Right. I think that's important. People think they have to go through regards, and you don't. You don't see another customs agent until you leave Schengen area.
Exactly. So when you left Schengen, you arrived in the Schengen area first, then you went to the UK. You're going to get a new stamp for 6 months. Yep. And when you go back to Schengen, do you think they're going to renew your stamp for 3 more months?
Well, actually, the way the Schengen works is kind of a weird one. You have... It's a combination of maximum – it's like a beginning and ending date. So the first day you walk into the Schengen area, you have an exit date that's 180 days in the future, okay? However, that doesn't mean you can stay for 180 days. You can really only stay 90 days within that 180-day period. So I equate it to like the number of fouls an NBA player can get in a basketball game. You can get a total of 4 fouls before you get kicked out of the 48-minute game, right? So the thing is, you can stay 90 days, and consecutive days or non-consecutive days, within a 180-day period. So to answer your question, yes, we get stamped back in again, but they look to make sure that it's going to stay within 180 days. Awesome. They'll do a little addition and say, okay, you've been here for 32 days before. The most you can stay now is in another 63 or whatever the math is that I can't do very quickly in my head.
One of the interesting things the Thai consulate advised is that when they stamp your passport, when you go through customs, to pay attention to the date that they stamp.
Yeah.
Because it's your responsibility. So if you walk away and they stamp their date wrong, they're blaming you. It's your responsibility to check that. So they give you a date that says this is when you came into the country. And if that's wrong, that can really mess you up.
It's all kind of confusing, but
yeah.
But thanks for sharing that. Cause yeah, that's definitely crossed my mind a couple times throughout this conversation is, you know, you want to do it legally. You don't want to get kicked out of somewhere.
Yeah, and the Schengen, I mean, the thing, when you violate border rules, a couple of things can happen to you that we've heard of. We luckily haven't experienced any. One of the worst things that can happen is they can immediately deport you, which would suck. They can also slap you with very heavy fines, which is pretty common. But it depends on the mood of the border guard agent and your probably mood as well. So if you act like a jerk American, they're probably going to slap you the fattest fine they possibly can.
Which you probably deserve.
Exactly right. They can also do absolutely nothing. But what they told us at the Thai consulate is that if you are in an overstay, regardless of what happens, is that they will mark your visa that you have overstayed, whether you get charged a fine, deported, any of that. That's irregardless, because now you have this blemish on your visa, on your passport itself. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to the countries that are a little less willing to let you in, or when you go to the next consulate to say, can I stay some extra time? You've already been a bad traveler. You're likely, you know, it's almost what I call woofy, or it's what people would call your credit rating. You're really impacting your credit rating for travel negatively. And we never, ever want to do that.
Yikes. Yeah. That's almost happened to me a couple of times. I won't go into that, but I always kind of wanted to know what would have happened if it had gone bad.
Yeah, that's something that I want to know in a parallel universe, not this one.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like, you want to hear that story from someone else, not your own. Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah. We are have, you know, people living vicariously through us. They are not to experience that vicariously through us.
No. Yeah. Well, great. Gosh, thank you so much for sharing all of this. So where can we, I mean, we mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but let's mention it again. What is your website? Where can people find you if they want to listen to your podcast or, you know, learn more about you guys? Where should they go?
Yeah, go to shivo.wtf. You'll find the link to the podcast. We also put together, obviously we're blogging every single day, but Sheila's a photographer, and so we have great photo spreads that are taking place in there. We've been putting together these really cool things that are called city guides after we leave an area, which is less about top 10 things to do in Rome and more about here is a collection of all of the things that we did. So blog posts, videos recorded, podcast actually recorded and released over there, even newsletters and various things, plus the people we met along the way and the places we ate, so that you can quickly go to, here's all the things that Shivo did while they were in Copenhagen. Now I want to go try and experience the same thing. And even if they're not going to go to Copenhagen, they can at least kind of one in fell swoop, as opposed to trying to do it in real time. They can see quickly, here's the bars we drank at, here are the coffee shops we attended, and here's the great things that happened in there.
Drank at bars?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of that. So all of that stuff's available at shivo.wtf. That's the home for all of the things that we do here as part of the Shivo Studios Big World Tour.
Awesome. That's so great. Well, you guys definitely check them out at shivo.wtf. And thank you guys so much for coming on. It's been wonderful. And I wish you guys the best in all of your travels.
Thank you very much, Jackie. And good luck on your nomination for the podcast award. I hope all of your listeners remember to go vote for you every stinking day.
I know, right? Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. And I hope to see you guys in Spain. You never know.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
Bye, Jackie.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Evo Terra and Sheila D. Don't forget to check out their website at Shivo, S-H-E-V-O dot W-T-F. And in case you're going to forget any of the things that we mentioned in this episode today, I have all the links to everything on the show notes page, which you're going to be able to find at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/41. So check that out. And please remember, if you are voting for the Budget Minded Traveler podcast, you can still do so at podcastawards.com under the travel category. I am so grateful for any of those votes that I can get. So thank you guys so much. Have a great day, and I'll see you next time.